to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Christy Stratton.
And today, we are going to talk about Christy's top 10 roller skating songs.
Well, you have some too, right?
I have a couple songs.
Oh, all right.
But it's about you.
Oh, my gosh.
I have some songs that are skate adjacent.
Oh, but so you didn't roller skate?
I cannot even roller skate now.
Oh, well.
I can stand. I can't really move that well.
Okay.
I've never been a good, I don't know.
But that wasn't something you did as a kid.
Kids did it. I didn't.
Oh.
It just wasn't. And ice skating, I'm about the same way. I can move around the rink, but I'm.
Forget
it. Looks stupid.
Yeah. No, ice skating is a chore.
Yeah.
But when roller skating in Fort Worth, Texas, it was a big thing. And you could be dropped off as young as, I don't know, third grade, 9 years old, whatever, for the night.
Yeah. And be safe.
And well, sure. But there was, you know, the kids smoking in the back, or you'd go around the corner and see the kids making out. So it was like this whole world that was independence for us. And I haven't quite seen that on screen. There have been a couple of roller skating movies since then. But neither one kind of captured what that experience was for me and for a lot of people like me. That subculture was a big part of their childhood. Now, it didn't last forever. I mean, they still have some roller skating rinks, but it was a magical place.
And the reason we're talking about this is because you are about to shoot a short film.
Yes, in a couple months. I wrote years ago, I want to say it was about over 25 years ago, I was part of the Acme Comedy Theater, and a guy, Mark Norberg, who I did sketches with, said, hey, let's write a roller skating movie. And this is so long ago that we were doing it in a Word doc and tabbing for the...
characters, yes, and scene, yes, direction, all that stuff.
Now, since then, I'd kind of go back and look at it. Mm-hmm. And Mark is kind of like, do whatever you want with it. But like the first strike that I was involved in 2007, I thought, oh, I'll look back at it. And so I did. And you know, then after the strike, I got work again and this and that. So every now and then I go back at it. Then I'm like, you know what? There is something to this movie. And what I found so interesting in retrospect was like, oh, each of the girls, there's a teen, a tween, and a single mom. And what they want is out of a male character, out of a man or a boy. That's what they want in the... And I'm like, that is such an interesting modern way to look at it, is back then in 1979, that's what we wanted. We wanted to skate with a boy. We wanted the single dad, or we wanted to get back with our boy, whatever. That was our happiness. And I thought, oh, it makes it even more relevant now. So I leaned into that. And I got...
Because some people would shy away from that. Right now, in 2023.
Right. So I'm like, I'm going to lean into it. And I talked to a filmmaker who my manager put me in touch with. And he says, why don't you make a short film version of it? And like a proof of concept, and go to the festivals, etc. And I'm like, yes, I'm doing that. And so I pulled out the tween story, and it's called The Runt. And I'm raising money. I'm sorry. I just apologize to people. I am so sorry. I never wanted to come begging people for money. I just never wanted to do it.
No, wait. Let's back up. Let's back up just a little bit. A lot of stuff's happening. Is The Runt, where did that come from? Where did that name come from? Were you tiny as a child?
Runt? Well, no. What The Runt is, it's the story is of this gal who is about to go into junior high. She's about to start, you know, junior high, and the eighth grader girls pick somebody to be the runt.
Okay.
And that it's a made up thing. But Janet, the lead, finds out it's her.
Okay.
So she's like, well, I can't start my period by Monday. So I need to skate with a boy by the end of the night, so they won't see me like that. Okay. They won't see me as immature.
All right.
And all that, and they'll move on. All right. So that's her goal, is she's going to skate with a boy.
All right. So that's the, what have you got? Log line. You log lined it, kind of.
Yes.
A little bit.
Yes.
So you have a GoFundMe up.
Uh-huh.
And trying to raise a certain dollar amount that you feel is, did someone give you a, what do they call it?
A budget.
Yes, a budget. Someone did a, is that a line producer that does that?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Line producer gave you a budget.
Yes.
And they said you should be able to do it for this amount of money. And so that's the amount you're trying to raise.
Correct. And unlike when I did my web series in my house, this is actually costing some real money because the rink itself is not cheap. And, you know, it's a period piece.
Is this an active rink or is this a rink that is shut down?
Oh, no, it's an active rink. And that's why it's so expensive.
So you'd have to do it like in the midnight hours when the rink's closed?
Well, this is the thing. You'd have to do it when it's closed, but their summer hours end and then the kids start school. There's a little window in there.
Oh, there's a window. So that's what you're shooting for.
A little window, yes.
All right. All right. And how many kids do you need on that rink?
50. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my goal. But here's the thing. It's not just a getting 50 kids. It's the kids of now, like my son.
Yeah.
They don't roller skate.
No.
So I took some kids just to practice. And here I am, like, you know, moving around and doing, going backwards. And these kids are literally just walking. Yeah. Like, they're walking with skates, step, 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 not propelling themselves forward.
They need to look like they can dance basically, on skates,
well, or
kind
just
of.
Skate. Just, you know, skate at this point. Isn't roll bounce. Like, I love roll bounce. But those kids could do tricks and routines. These are just regular kids. But they do skate every weekend.
Right.
And this should look like they skate every weekend. And my DP is amazing and magic and wonderful. And he's going to try to help me figure out how to make it look more than it is.
Yeah.
But I would like every single kid that exists to come in, feather their hair, and put some skates on.
Yeah. And it's tricky, too, because like let's say you were filming a baseball movie. People only see what's in the box. So the box, you could see, you know, the player, singular player, or the field. But with roller skating, it's constant movement.
Oh, yeah.
So what you see in the box, there's always stuff going on at the rink. So you have to make sure that someone's not watching it and going, oh, that kid can't, that kid's,
well,
these kids can't skate or whatever.
Right. Well, there is some stuff in the snack bar.
Yes.
And that can be shot a certain way, but when you're not shooting towards the rink, there's still like an ATM machine and things that need to be addressed.
Yes.
Luckily, they're in the bathroom. There's a scene in the bathroom. And I wrote a scene to be out behind the rink. Mm-hmm. Like that's where the kids, you know, go and smoke and make out. But when you open the doors to this particular rink, there's steps and then like a busy street.
So literally that scene will be filmed behind some other building.
Well, rewrote it to make it like it's the storage area, the storage room.
Because when you have a budget, you need to rewrite to fit the budget.
Absolutely. And I've been in this business long enough to where like I can be flexible. As long as a certain vibe is achieved, then I don't need to, you know, go to a second location and set this whole thing up and just shoot it at 2 a.m.
Right.
I don't need to do that. I can get it across in this other way. And luckily, like in the storage room, I only need half a dozen kids. I don't need 50. They can all be dismissed for the day.
If you can find it on YouTube, I think it's Die Hard 2. There's like a whole sequence and like every other shot is like somewhere else. And it'll tell you underneath, like, this was shot here, this was shot here, this was shot on the lot, this was shot here. And it's like him running through the airport and then crawling through a vent. It's all this stuff. And it's like every other shot is like somewhere else.
How funny.
Yeah. But when you have a budget and you're independent filmmaker, you got to get the biggest bang for your buck at the one location or the two locations or whatever you decide.
Right.
So it's all kids. There's a DJ.
Uh-huh.
So you can focus on the DJ without seeing too much around him that would tip the hat that it's not 1970.
Correct. And we're going to insert a shot of the record player because there's they don't have a record player there.
Not one that looks like that.
No.
That, like then.
Right.
So that's an insert shot. See, we're learning about the craft of filmmaking.
Uh-huh.
This feels like an On the Page podcast. So I thought a great way for you to promote the GoFundMe would be to play your top 10 skate songs.
Oh, I'd love to. I just thank you so much. And y'all are going to love these songs. So, you know, even though I am, you know, begging for money, you're going to enjoy this music I have selected. This first song is the song I want for the short and when they all hit the rink. And to me, it's such a great disco, because disco was also a part of that.
Yeah, sure.
And this one I don't think has been overused in film and television, and I really love it. And it is the cover of, it's Amy Stewart's cover of Knock on Wood.
Let's hear it. That is a great song.
It's so, and just the heart pumping, like, you know, she's on this quest, she's skating. It's I absolutely adore that song.
So is there money in the budget to secure the rights for this song?
I have friends who do that.
Yeah.
And one of them in particular, he has told me that festival rights is almost nothing. So, by the way, that's not even in the budget yet. Like, I haven't even, like,
right,
post
right.
is just, but I do believe that you can get rights for cheap if it's just festival use only. Like, I couldn't put it up on YouTube,
right,
for instance.
Right, that would be some incidental music that was similar.
Right, or something.
Yeah.
And I just want, when you're watching this thing, I want it to be the real
music.
Deal. Yeah.
It's always it always sucks when you see, like, a movie and it's like, well, we couldn't get a Cheap Trick song, so this is in the what do they say? I can't think of that term, but you know, it's not,
right.
It's like a band aping that type
okay,
of music.
Yes, yes.
My friend did a film, and he a big part of his budget was he needed the Macarena.
Okay.
In that film, and he got it, but that was a lot of the budget was getting that song, but I needed it. What else am I going to ask you? So is there a deadline on the GoFundMe, or does it just keep going?
Well, it's just going to keep going, but
okay.
I would say the beginning of August would be great if, you know, the next month I can raise enough to, you know, secure things, and all my crew is working for free. It's just their the depreciation on the equipment and that sort of
right.
thing. So, and no one is making money on this. And, you know, I have been accumulating
yeah.
props and things. And, like, I wanted a tube of Dial-A-Lash mascara. Do you know what that is?
I think I do
okay.
know what it is.
It was a mascara that you could crank it from 0 to like 9 of, and it would put that much more mascara on the wand, I guess.
Okay.
But I wrote it into the script, and then I kept trying to look for it, and I just couldn't find it. So I'm like, I gotta rewrite it. So it's a—
Did you look on eBay for it?
I did.
Wow.
For a long time. So I have the 12-year-old who's trying to kind of doll herself up.
Yeah.
I remember I having a doll head. It was a Barbie doll head, but it was a doll, big doll head, and you would style her hair and makeup.
Yeah, I remember
And
this.
So I found a little tiny Barbie makeup thing. And so one of the girls to the other girl is like, is that a doll's makeup? And she's like, no. But it is, you know, I had to rewrite that because I couldn't find the Dial-A-Lash.
And again, this is what we're talking about with— If you can't find something, then you got to tweak your script to make it work.
Yeah.
Now, so this episode will actually drop July 20th. So that'll give you a nice big push
okay,
right towards the
great.
Last week or so. But the Patreon ASAP Club, they'll have it well in advance of that.
Okay.
So look, we're not asking for hundreds of dollars. If five people give $20, that's $100. So
yeah.
It takes a village. Every little bit helps. And don't think I can really only give like $5. Then give $5.
Yeah, because guess what? I just posted on my... I did an unboxing video and I put it up on Facebook of me opening the eBay thing. Got things I got on eBay. And for like $10 or $20, I got old beer cans.
Wow.
So I have an old like Michelob can that has that hole that... Because it wasn't...
Like the cone? Cone
the top?
Top.
Or
is it a cone?
What are they called when... When the pop top, when it, the whole top
the hole comes off.
Yeah.
It just doesn't
and then
go
you
like,
stepped on and, it. And,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I got, so, or little costumes, a shirt I got for $5 plus shipping that is Camp Fun Time. That is, I guess Debbie Harry wore that.
Okay.
So someone's going to be wearing a Camp Fun Time shirt. But those little things help.
Okay,
so.
Well, when you put these up on Instagram, tag @RockSolidShow in them. And then my Instagram people will hopefully see that too.
Okay, and I also have a
whatever
Instagram
you want to do, but that's just...
at the Runt short film.
Yeah,
a wonderful.
Yesterday.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
This wonderful young woman, Dani Calvo, who I met. I went to the University of Florida, and she was there as a student, and I met her because I'm a part of an advisory council there in the media college, and she came here and was my intern on when I show ran that Amazon mini room, and when she heard about this, she says, "Hey. Do you need an unpaid assistant?" And I'm like, yeah. And so she's been doing the social media stuff. Yeah.
I need all the unpaid things
yes.
that can come my way.
Uh-huh. And honestly, you guys, I'm very, people have been really lovely and it's quite nice.
Will there be an Alfred Hitchcock type cameo in here for Krista Stratton?
You know what? It's kind of like there's no adults in this
okay.
except the DJ. And there's a
okay,
mom
that's
voice.
Cool.
You hear a mom voice when she's in the bathroom, but it's not mine. It's an actress. It's not me. And but yeah, like if I have to put on skates, get out there and just fill it up, I will. But my hope is that, you know, I don't have to.
Yeah.
But I would.
You kind of want to skate on camera.
A little bit.
Yeah. All right. Song number two.
Okay, well, this one was my little friend Kathy Sapp, when we were, whatever, nine. This song would come on, and we're like, we're going to make a routine to this song. And it is In the Navy by the Village People. And we had, by the way, we had no idea they were gay.
No one did.
No one had any idea that it was but we just love their music.
Yeah.
It's still a bop. I think. And here it is. It's In the Navy by the Village People.
It's a bop, but the lyrics are just ridiculous. Oh, In the Navy.
Working youth by pleasure, search the world for treasure, learn science, technology.
Can put your mind at ease
yes,
in the
you
Navy.
Can. I wonder what gentlemen, well, and ladies, I guess, in the Navy in 1979 thought of this song. Did they think, that's not what it's like?
Right.
It's not what it's like at all.
I don't know that it just, and you know, as a kid, you don't really care about lyrics. You're not listening to them. But to
You're
me,
not.
It was like, oh, in the Navy, we can yeah. wear little sailor hats and do a little dance.
And this band was representative of everyone in your neighborhood?
That's right.
There's the, you know, the... Indian.
That's right.
And the motorcycle guy.
Mm-hmm. I love, I mean, I would say even my parents bought me an album. We didn't know and we didn't care. And even now, I mean, it's not that I care and, you know, whatever,
right.
but it's just
but
such
if your
a parent, funny.
If your parents knew they were gay, they probably wouldn't have bought you the album. Maybe.
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 They, but maybe not.
Right. I would be,
I don't know.
They would be grimming. It would be considered grimming.
Yeah. My, you know, I'm sure my mom thought Kiss was the devil.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I explained to Johnny, like, I'm like, oh, I know AC/DC talks about the devil. And I'm like, they're just rebellious. Like, don't get a weird, because, you know, as a kid, you're like, oh, my God, they worship the devil. Ozzy Osbourne. But no, of course not.
They
it's
don't.
Just this.
None of them do.
Right.
It's all a gimmick.
Right. And it's this a rebel spirit I try to explain to him.
It's a show. It's a show.
Yes.
Yeah. Alice, although Alice Cooper does not hang himself live anymore.
Okay.
He does the guillotine where his head gets cut off, but he used to, every other tour, he'd switch it up. But I think he doesn't do that because of suicide and things like that. So even though that's a show, I think he was like, you know what, that might be, you know, a step too far with, now that we're, you know, we're aware of mental illness more than we were in the 1972.
Right.
You know.
And by the way, I did have a line in The Runt when they get their drinks and they're like, oh, there's too much root beer in the suicide. But I'm like, ah, you know, I don't want to.
I know. And yet that's what we.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I want that line in there, though, because we would do the suicide solution where you would just go, you'd get your fountain drink and you would go right down the line.
That's right. And you would order it. Get 4 suicides.
Is there another name that you could use for that? I think.
Well, you know what?
I feel like that needs to be in there. I'm not rewriting for you. I'm just saying.
Well, and
I would laugh when I hear that.
You know? And she used it in Barb and Star. Did you see Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar? It is a masterpiece.
I did. It's very funny.
But in the beginning, she makes a suicide. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I love it. But yeah.
All right. By the way, I owned every one of these songs except for one. And when we get to it, I'll tell you which one I didn't have in my iTunes library, but I had all these songs.
Okay. All right. So this next one, I want to slow it down a little.
Mm-hmm. Would you hold hands with a boy and slow skate? Is
yes,
that what you would do?
Yes. The couple skate and, you know, they'd lower the lights. Mm-hmm. And the couple skate thing would come on and then, you know, you panic.
And you could only be out there if it was a couple.
Correct.
All right.
Now, the older kids, they skated facing each other. So someone's skating backwards.
Okay.
Okay? Like you're dancing.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you were young, like I never got old enough to go and skate with a boy like that.
Okay. Today you do it all the time.
I mean, all the time.
Of course.
But back then, in fact, I don't even know if I ever really, did I ever get asked to couple skate? I don't know that I did, but you'd hold hands. Just hold hands. And it was so funny because the music that is playing is obviously a lot older. Like it's by older people. It's about older relationships.
I Want a Man with Slow Hands might play.
Right. It just is so funny to me.
And lyrically, it's for adults.
Right.
It's not for children
Correct.
At all.
Not for 9-year-olds holding hands.
No.
But this one, I particularly remember as being a couple skate song in a roller skating rink I was at some point in my life, and that is You Decorated My Life by Kenny Rogers.
Kids are listening to this.
Then you added some music. Every note was in place.
The lights from the disco ball.
I can feel it.
Floating.
Anybody could see all the changes in me by the look on my face. And you decorated my life. Are apart, and you decorated my life by painting your love.
You forget how popular Kenny Rogers was.
I know, right?
And mainstream popular, not
yes.
just country popular, mainstream popular.
Yes. The 70s was magical in a lot of ways. First of all, and I don't know if I've said this on the show, but I would contend that every single genre of music that existed at the time had its peak in the 70s. Every single one.
Might
Think
be
about
right.
it.
Not
Country,
argue.
Rock, pop, all of it. R&B. But it was also, I try to tell young people that, yeah, you had the Cars, you had, you know, punk rock, but you had Kenny Rogers. Do you realize there were number one songs that were instrumentals in the 70s?
Yeah, Feels So Good.
And
Chuck
Weird
Mangione.
Al. Yes, and just, Weird Al, and that whole thing was the late 70s. Like, it was such, there were so many people firing on all cylinders in the late 70s.
The most eclectic time on top 40 pop radio.
100%.
We didn't have, like kids don't have, they don't go to the dance on the weekend. Like, we would have a dances at the YMCA.
Okay.
Saturday night dance at the YMCA. Yeah. And you just go. And there's a dollar to get in. DJs there, people from high school, and then you would try to, you know, get up enough courage to ask the girl to slow dance. My friend in high school, Mark Figarelli, had a mustache, like when he was full mustache, you know, Italian, thick head of hair, good looking, well built. And if we went through like three slow dances and I didn't ask the girl I wanted to ask, he would say, if you don't ask her next time, I'm going to.
Whoa.
And then I would, because I knew he would. So...
But I love that, because nowadays, like Johnny, when he was in seventh grade this past year, they had a dance. And I'm like, great. Then you can ask a girl to it and blah, blah, blah. And then he was like, yeah, no one's going. And I'm like, what? And or they all just go and they don't ask dates, which while I think that's wonderful and that I don't want anyone to feel like, I felt, but when you're there, like, to at least go and muster up the courage, boy or girl, or whatever, to ask to dance with someone and be in a social situation where your parents aren't and it's nighttime. And I think that was an important rite of passage to growing up and learning how to deal with, you know, people you had crushes on and all of that.
Yeah. And the slow dance at the YMCA wasn't like in high school social dance where your arms around the small of her back and your hand, you're like just pressed up against each other as close as you can get. This is the closest I've ever been to a girl. I haven't even kissed this girl yet, but we're like, you know, just like, it's, now when I think of it, I'm like, that's just kind of seems awkward, but no, it wasn't. It was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Memories. What's next?
Oh my gosh. Okay, this one is one I would want in the movie version, because I just, again, what I find so fun about this area is that, again, we're young, we don't know. Back then, you don't know who the artists are, like, unless they were on American Bandstand or whatever.
No,
like, you don't know them.
No, even if you read about them in a music magazine, it was all fluff.
It was not. And we, Rick James and all of his music, like, plus we weren't really listening to it for any kind of connotation, sexual connotations or whatever, but I love You and I, that's the song, because it's not overdone like Super Freak. But it's still very, very of the time, a good roller skating song. And I remember, like, you'd go to those places that had little jukeboxes, like the restaurants that had
on
little jukebox on the table. Yeah. And I, You and I, Rick James, I love this. But we love Rick James. And this song in particular is just my favorite.
It's called You and I from 1978. Here we go.
Instrument that you hit it, that what's that called?
I don't know what that's called, but I know what you're talking about.
You hit it and it makes that.
I don't know.
It's in Love Lies Bleeding. It's
not a keyboard thing though. It's not a synthesizer.
No, you hit it and there's like a cowbell at the end of it, kind of. And it's like a ball, and then you... Anyway.
I think it's in Crazy Train, too.
Oh, yeah. It's we should do an episode about whatever that
I
is. Wish
it, yeah, I need to know
and
what instrument
we need
that is.
Yeah.
All right.
And I wrote it into something one time, and I looked it up, and I even... Anyway, blah, blah, blah.
You bought one.
Wouldn't that be funny?
You took lessons.
I took lessons just played those songs.
So again, Kenny Rogers could be on the radio right alongside Rick James at this time.
Yeah, like top 40. And I mean, I know we've talked about this on the show, but you could have 2 and 3 AOR stations, album-oriented rock.
Yeah.
Now, of course, Kenny wouldn't be on that.
No.
But yeah, it was a really magical time.
Now, I just looked for songs. I didn't do a lot of preparation. I just went to my iTunes library and typed in the word skate.
Oh, okay.
And I figured out what would come up. So I have a couple of those. But I also have this song from Melanie, which mentions roller skating.
Yes.
So let's hear this. Brand New Key.
I rode my bicycle past your window last night.
Memory of this song being sung on the Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour, and they had like an animated video that went with it with Sonny and Cher in it. I mean, I couldn't make that up, right? It has to be a real thing, right?
Yes, no, it's a real thing. Yeah. That is exactly what the 70s something would do.
Right, exactly. the line about riding past your window late last night, and I remember going down to Bridget Agner's house when it was... We had like the first snow and making snowballs and throwing them up at her window to get her to wake up.
Wow.
Like if someone did that at my house now, I'd be like, get out of here.
Yeah.
What are you doing? But like I used to crawl out my bedroom window too. And then, mm-hmm. I was on the second floor, but I'd shimmy down the
Oh my
post.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Our kids aren't like Johnny will never be able to sneak out.
No.
Because we have the alarm and he could disarm it.
Yeah, I can hear everything that's going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, at least I think I can. But I wasn't doing anything bad.
Of
I wasn't drinking
not.
Or drugs. I
of
was just,
course not.
I just wanted to, you know, and I lived in such a small town. You could barely get in trouble. There's nothing you could do to get in trouble. You
okay.
just kill someone.
Right.
What's next?
Okay.
Number 5.
Oh, number 5. All right. This is, I think is a 1980. Like, this is a little bit older.
This is 1980.
And so I wouldn't use it. But to me, it is such a roller skating song, and I absolutely love it. This is the SOS Band, and Take Your Time, Do It Right.
It's a good song.
You know you ought to slow down. You've been working too hard, and that's a fact. Sit back and relax a while. Take some time to laugh and smile. Lay your head in low down so we can stop and kick back. It seems we never take the time to do all the things we want to. Yeah. Now, baby, we can do it. Take the time, do it right. We can do it, baby. Do it tonight. Baby, we can do it. Take the time, do it right. We can do it, baby. Do it tonight. Love and peace.
Now, you mentioned a friend earlier. What was her name? Was it Sap?
Kathy Sapp.
Kathy Sapp. Now, are you still friends with like a Kathy Sapp?
And you know what? We are in social media land. Yes.
Okay. But when was the last time you were like together with Kathy
Sapp?
Oh,
boy. 45 years?
Wow.
Yeah, a long time.
Because for me, when I go back to my hometown to visit, whenever that is, the rare time, every other year, I have a whole group of high school friends that still live in the hometown. And I let them know, I go, hey, I'm coming in, whoever's available. I don't say it like, hey, make time for me because I'm coming. I just say, hey, I just want you to know, I'm coming in if you guys are available. And we always get together. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. No, Kathy, I knew in like elementary school. Mm-hmm. I moved around a lot as a kid. But my high school, yes, I'll always meet up with them and yeah.
But my number one best friend is from second grade still.
Sean, oh, really?
Sean McKnight. I was in his wedding. He was in my wedding. His kids call me Uncle Pat. I talk to him every week, sometimes twice a week.
That's nice.
Just if it's like, just for like, you know, hey, dude, I'm driving to work, so I'm giving you a call. You know, just like.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, second grade. We've known each other, you know, since then. Yeah.
Wow.
Fun.
That is fun.
Because when I was going to college, I remember when I was going to college, everyone would tell me, you know, the friends you make in college, those are the friends you're going to have for life. And I'm like, so I just forget about these friends when I go to college?
Right.
And that's not how I operate. If you're my friend and you're willing to stay in touch with me and I'm staying in touch with you, then we're always friends.
Yes.
So I have a big friend group, as I know you do.
Well, it is fun to have people who knew you at different mm-hmm. points when you were a different person.
Yes.
You know?
Grade school friends, high school friends, stand-up comedy friends.
Yes.
Yeah, all these different things. Friends from school that you met. I mean, I'm talking friends from my kids' school.
Oh, huh?
That yes. I would meet. And I'm like, oh, these are the cool parents. I can hang
yes.
with them.
Yes.
Because when you're a parent and you go on that campus, you don't let your sense of humor come out until you know
right.
that the parents
are cool.
Are cool.
Yeah.
Because if not, no, that doesn't go well.
And those are the kind of a very magical relationship with parents, because if your kids are friends, you're forced with them in a
yes.
way, or they go to school that you're forced. So we're very lucky
yeah.
with our baseball and stuff that we've mm-hmm. got parents that we love and
yeah.
and yeah,
because there are some people that are so invested that they're in their kids and like and don't have anything else. Once the kids comes along, that's it, that's their thing. And that's not how we are. Of course we're invested in the kids,
of course
we're invested in them a lot, but we also have our own things and we're able to go behind closed doors and go, that kid's being an asshole today.
Yeah. Oh,
you
yeah
know? But some parents are like, oh, my kid's so precious and special all the time. It's like, no, it's not how it goes.
No.
You got to be honest with yourself when
yes.
you're a parent. That's why, you're that's why you are a cool parent.
I like to think I am,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, do I worship my son? Yes. I mean,
of
is
course.
He wonderful
yes.
and amazing?
Yes.
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 but
if it's being
be
a jag off, you know he's being a jag off.
Right.
It's when you don't know. Oh, that's just how he is. No, he's being a jag off. You got to call it out.
Yeah, he does this thing now where he'll be like, yeah, bro. And I'm like, I'm not your bro. And he's like, I'm just kidding. It's all, I'm just kidding. And I'm like, you know what? No, I'm going to start to punish you. I'm going to start. There are going to be consequences to the bros.
I'm going to start to punish you.
Yeah, yes.
I haven't done it yet, but
no.
It's coming. I do love Amy Poehler in Mean Girls when she's the cool mom.
Yes.
She's like, I'm not like other moms. I'm the cool mom. It's like, okay.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Song number 6. Great tune.
Oh, okay. We're going to slow it down for another couple skate. I've got 3 couple skate song because in the
yeah.
movie version, the runt is the short. The movie version is called Shoot the Duck.
And throughout the night, there would be like 3 or 4
right,
slow dances or
right.
couple songs. You had your moment when you could try.
Right. And again, to me, this is a love song for 40-year-olds. But... It was played for us kids, and it's a wonderful, beautiful song. And it is Dionne Warwick. I know. Oh, it's just. I'll never love this way again.
That's Dionne Warwick, who is still alive and has had a resurgence via Twitter and
yes!
on social media.
Love her.
Still seems with it. She was on Saturday Night Live like 2 seasons ago. She had a guest spot. Pretty cool. So here we go. Still alive. Dionne Warwick.
Looked inside my fantasies and made each one come true. Something no one else had ever found a way to do. I've kept the memories one by one since you took me in. I know I'll never love this way again.
Seventh grader singing these words in
yes.
their bedroom. Never going to love this way again.
Right.
Seventh grade. I feel like if you go to see Celine Dion in Vegas, she might bust something like this out one night. A little cover of this.
It's
a great song.
It is a great song. It kind of builds to that chorus that I think is terrific.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what songs don't always do anymore is when they build to that boom.
Yes.
All right. Here's a song from 2021. From an album called An Evening with Silk Sonic, Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak. This one's called Skate. Has that feel, has that vibe. Now, look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I listen to Bruno Mars 24/7. I don't. But whenever I see that guy on TV or performing or hear a song on the radio, that guy's magic.
I agree.
He's got it.
I've got to tell you, I want to say this is before Johnny was born. So this had to be, good Lord, maybe 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. Has it been that long? Anyway.
How old is Johnny right now?
Well, he's 13.
Oh, my God.
I think it was
when did he become
he
a teenager?
I know. Like last August.
Last August?
Yeah. But we went to New York City, Gary and I, and he got us tickets to see Saturday Night Live.
Nice.
And the week before, it was Steve Martin was the host.
Ugh.
And I was heartbroken.
I know, because Steve Martin is the man for us.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, it's Bruno Mars is the host and the guest.
And you're like,
and I was
boo.
Like, wah, wah.
I know.
But I'm telling you the same reaction. I'm like, oh my gosh, this kid is a talent, like a monster talent.
Charisma.
Yes. And funny, and obviously can sing and dance, and had, you know, his performance was outstanding. But I was shocked at how funny he was. And I was like, all right, I need to just eat my words there because that was something.
He also doesn't seem conceited, you know what I mean? Or full of himself. He seems genuine.
Right.
Yeah. We need more Bruno Mars.
I mean, and his music is great. I enjoy it. And anyway.
A friend of mine was going to New York and her dream was always to see Saturday Night Live. So I knew someone, this is just a few years ago, I knew someone that was an intern there. And I'm like, is there any way to get tickets to Saturday? And yeah, I know that's a big ask. It's not even for me. It's for a friend. And she said, let me check. And she said, I can get tickets for the dress rehearsal.
Uh-huh.
Which is basically the show,
yes.
But just the first run through. And she goes, and I said, oh, that would be fantastic. And she goes, it's a pretty great show. It's Matthew McConaughey is hosting and Adele is the...
So, wow.
Yeah. So my friend loved it. Of course. How are you not going to love that?
Yeah, that's a good show.
That's a good show. All right, moving on. What's your next song?
Well, okay. Here's my next song. Now,
this predates me, this song.
Really? Like, I don't know how well, they would play it every time at the skating rink. What year is it?
I got 1961.
Okay. Well, every night, you know, you were there on a Friday night or whatever, you'd have the couple skates, you'd have the races, you'd have the shoot the duck, but you'd also have, and
did
the hokey pokey.
Did you say racists?
Races.
Oh, okay. Races.
No, we'd line up all the races. but they would have like races around the track.
Which doesn't seem safe.
No. I mean, there were refs who were like teens themselves.
All right. Okay.
But you'd also have the Hokey Pokey. But then you'd also have this, the Limbo. And this is Limbo Rock by Chubby Checker.
And this is the only song I had to purchase. Oh. Because look, this isn't a song you just listen to in the car.
Right.
You only listen to this as if you're at a party. At an event
right.
type, like skating or a birthday party, they're going to yes. get a Limbo stick out.
Right.
Was this a hit song? Was this on the radio? I can't imagine this just being on the radio.
I don't have any idea, but we wouldn't know.
No, we wouldn't know because we're young.
Right.
Here we go.
Every limbo boy and girl all around the limbo world gonna do the limbo rock all around. All around the limbo clock. Hey, let's do the limbo rock. Limbo lower now. Limbo lower now. How low can you go?
Were you good at limbo?
I can go under the door. That's how good I am. I can't remember if I was good at limbo.
Okay.
I don't know.
I was never the first one out.
Right.
But I was never the last one out. I was somewhere in the middle.
Right in the middle. That's where you want to be for limbo. Maybe not in life. You don't want to be in the middle. But for limbo, you're fine.
Yeah. You know, you got to have your fun. But then you don't have to the challenge of, you know, bending over backwards and roller skate.
This is a totally different thing. But I loved spelling bees when I was in school. I loved when we would have a spelling bee. Yes. I love that.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm a good speller.
Are you?
I am. Give me a word. I want you to give me like a three-letter word. Now I'm nervous. Let's say this. I was a fan of spelling bees.
Okay. I'm like, I don't even know.
You don't even know words. You're a writer.
How about this? How about iridescence?
What's our next song?
Do you have another one?
I do. And it's a song called Roller Skate from 2017. Ooh. And this is Sheryl Crow. Who I don't think you're a fan of.
I love Sheryl Crow.
Okay, calm down. Here we go. Oh, jump back to limbo. That's not a good deal.
I like the sunshine bouncing off your mirror shades. Well, I love that you love loving me. Can't you see I need a little more of your embrace? You start to panic, you can't stand still. You're getting a message, talk about a buzzkill. I want some attention. I wanna put your center stage. I don't want competition. So put your phone away, let's roller skate.
She's the queen of melody. I love her melodies. No matter, like, I've never heard that song, but I love the melody. I'm in.
Yeah. There's so much pushback right now because she's getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I can't remember who doesn't like Sheryl Crow and who does like Sheryl Crow. I love Sheryl Crow.
I do love her.
And that was from the 2017 album called Be Myself, and that's where she was trying to get back into the groove of Soak Up the Sun and that kind of that kind of first three album era of her career.
Come on.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
I love that album.
Yeah, I love that album. It's so good. All right, moving on. What was I going to ask you? I was going to ask you another question about something. How many days would it take, do you think, to shoot this short film?
2 days.
2 days.
It's going to have to.
That sounds very ambitious because I've never done anything like that. So,
right. But it's 13 pages.
All right, how many shots?
Oof, there's a lot. And now I've done my shot list, and now the DP said, "Oh, draw some storyboards." And I'm terrible at drawing, so I mean, he's like, "It can be stick figures," but I'm like, "I want to try to do it," but I'm not good with perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, "Well, they're standing here, and then he's in the over her shoulder, and I'm just trying to draw."
I get so angry when people have more than one talent. Like, for example, when I see John Mellencamp's paintings, I am blown away by his paintings. Like, I think he's a better painter than maybe he was in music. And he was phenomenal at music.
Wow. I guess I haven't seen his
You got to look. Just look it up on, okay. Like, just Google John Mellencamp paintings. He really has this dark look. And he would probably say, I'm not good. You know, he's one of those people who probably say he's not good at painting. Or maybe he wouldn't because he's John Mellencamp. But yeah, look up one of these paintings.
Okay, here we go.
Let me see. You're going to hate it, probably. Show me what one you're looking up. I just think he's so good. He is such a unique...
You know what? I can't... Oh, yeah, here we go. They're just the only paintings of him have come up.
He doesn't do all self... he doesn't do all self-portraits. I've never even seen one of those before. Those aren't even the ones
His art exhibit.
I think he's real good. I think he has an eye.
Okay.
I don't know anything about painting. So take that with a grain of salt. But yeah, someone whose story can write the script and then storyboard it and like they're really good. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Like they all look like the Take on Me video.
Right. Well, I have an amazing DP. His name is Steve Gaynor. And he artist.
Because a lot of times when Pilar will throw out terms like that, and I'm okay. Like, some people might not know what DP means.
That's a cinematographer. So
it's a director of photography, though.
Correct.
Is what
correct,
the D
yes.
and the P stands for.
Right. And he knows all about the artistic side of things. Mm-hmm. To me, I'm not, I'm good at constructing the comedy and the emotion and the all of that.
Right.
And so he brings that element. And a lot of directors can have more of an artistic eye than I do. But I just know what I want it to look like, what I want it to feel like, how... And so breaking down the shots has been a good exercise.
Okay.
But I certainly... Like, he has old lenses. Like, we're going to use old lenses.
Oh, that's good.
He actually has the lenses that shot Rosemary's Baby and Bullet. And I'm like, wow, let's use those old things.
He doesn't have the actual lenses from those movies.
He does.
He has lenses that are the same lens. He has the actual lenses.
Correct.
All right.
Correct.
That's insane.
He has his own stuff. All right. And so we're going to shoot it to make it look like that. Because I find a lot of this stuff that modern day, when you try to look at 70s, like vinyl is such a perfect example, the TV show, is that it looks silly. It looks a lot of wigs and it looks, but even though I feel like they're trying to be authentic to the time, there's something about the richness mm-hmm. of the modern, lenses and stuff that just make it look silly. And I'm like, I don't want it to look silly. I want it to look like the Bad News Bears. I want it to look your Little Darlings.
Yes.
That was 1980, but still.
Foxes.
Like, right. Anything I want it
like
to
that.
Look that way so that it doesn't, I don't know, it seems silly.
No. I know. Yeah. You don't want to shoot this with your camera. I mean, not with your camera. So stupid. With your phone.
Right, right.
That would look, that's not the look you're going for.
No. In fact, I was, when we went to
It would take people
practice,
out of it immediately.
Yes, yes. And so I'm excited about that. But yeah, the visual part of it, it's a big part of directing. But when you have a good director of photography that knows all the rules mm-hmm. and all of that stuff, and then you get to kind of play within that. But I know how to make something funny and how to edit it together to make it look funny.
Just so you know, Steven Spielberg is a genius. But when you see a Steven Spielberg film, he didn't do every single thing.
Right.
Okay? He hired the best possible people
Correct.
In the business to make it the best movie you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
You know? About music, like when Pilar will get someone's script and they'll have like specific songs, like we have to have this song in there. Pilar's like, look, you might not get that song.
You're, right.
Like Quentin Tarantino, he can write a script and put in any music he wants and he's going to get that music.
Correct.
Okay. But the first time, and you're not a first time filmmaker. You've shot your award winning.
Nominated.
It's just as good to be nominated as win.
Sure. Uh-huh.
No, it's not. Okay, so no, it is.
I don't have that Webby on my shelf.
Right, that's true. But you know what? But so yeah, so it's so funny. Pilar's like, yeah, you're probably not gonna get the rights to, you know, Stairway to Heaven.
Right.
You know what I mean? Okay, moving on. I'm trying to think if I have any more questions. How many speaking parts are in the film?
Ooh, there's a bunch. There's, you know, a dozen kids. I mean, there are two main girls.
Okay. What are their names?
Jana and Sharla, okay, which are my cousin's names.
Okay. I like it, though.
And I like to, even though they're not characters based on my cousins, mm-hmm, I love using real names.
Yeah.
It makes it feel authentic to me.
Yes.
And hopefully that comes across to the viewer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a lot of name. They drop certain names in there. There are people that I knew, you know, growing up, but I felt had really good teen names, like, oh, Jim Meeker and Ernie Capanke.
Exactly.
And like, they're great names. And so I'll always, if I can, use real names.
Yeah, you can't make up a name that's as good as a real name that you grew up with.
Yes.
I remember in Jurassic Park, the first one, Wayne Knight meets this guy to get, I don't know, some tube or something. And the guy's name is Dodson. And I've never heard my name in a film. And like Wayne Knight goes, Dodson, Dodson, Dodson's here. And I'm like, I've never heard that in my life.
I love it.
Yeah, so fun. All right, this next song coming up.
Yes.
This guy was just on my podcast last week for the third time, Steve Lukather.
Wow.
So let's do it. Introduce it.
Yes. Well, this is, when I wrote the film version, this is the, like a song that you would race to, or in my case, in the script, shoot the duck to. It's urgent. It's wonderful. It's Hold the Line by Toto.
Now, I wish I could drop it in at the beginning, but the intro is kind of long with the keyboards
and then
the chunky guitar.
Yeah.
But I dropped it in a little bit before vocals. So here we go.
I will never, ever tire of that song.
I was going to say
never,
the exact thing.
Ever.
Never. Whenever Steve Lukather's on, I always call him legendary guitarist. He's like, I don't know about that. I'm like, you're on 5,000 recordings. Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
Played on Thriller, the whole album, all over it. Crazy. All right. Here's a song by John Entwistle.
Oh.
Bass player from The Who.
Okay.
From his solo catalog. I'd never heard this song in my life. I didn't even know I owned this song, but there it is in my iTunes. It's called Roller Skate Kate.
Oh.
All right. So let's see what this is like.
Hey, you. It's a seagull stinker. I had a girl.
Get it.
To that great sailing ring.
No.
In the sky.
This is awful.
Oh, no.
Now, look, if you're a fan of The Who, and then you're like, John Entwistle has a solo album out, and then that's on it, you're like, come on.
Oh, my God.
Oh, so this is why Pete Townsend writes the songs.
Oh, my gosh.
That's terrible.
I was like, is this Donna? And then, like, no, and then it just enough.
And the mix is terrible. It's so noisy and loud. And it's so
when
bad.
Was this? Like, what year?
This is from an anthology that came out in 96. So I don't even know when the origins of Roller Skate Kate.
Oh, my
But she's
goodness.
Dead.
Boy.
She's dead. All right.
I mean, does the rest of the song explain what happened to her?
I can't even get through the rest of it. It's as far
fair
as I
enough.
Can get.
Fair enough.
Because she was, he said she's gone like five times in
yes.
a row. It's too much.
It's too much.
Rule of threes. Your phone is blowing up today. Are these all calls about the film?
You know,
I
yes.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Is this your life now?
Well, I'm going to Florida. By the time this is mm-hmm. dropped, I am going to teach a class at the University of Florida.
Now, can anyone take that, or do you have to be...
You have to be a student
you
there.
You have to be a student there. Okay.
And what happened there was I was there for a... I'm part of an advisory council at my college, the Journalism and Media College.
All right, cool.
And when I was there in the spring, I said, can I teach a class in the summer? Because I have a feeling we're going to be on strike. And they were like, sure. You know, it's so funny. Everything out here is such... you have to just beg for scraps. And even then, you're not picked. But yeah. They were like, yeah, sure. They're like, what days do you want to teach?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? So I picked summer B because my son will be in camp for 2 weeks. So I'm really only leaving mm-hmm. for a month. But I'm going next week and I'm going to teach this class on the writer's room. It's not a screenwriting class per se.
No, it's about what happens in, because, you know, when you see the credit on screen of a television series and it says Christy Stratton, most of the time, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's kind of written by committee.
Correct.
In the writer's room. Now,
correct.
You brought the idea. You might have brought most of everything.
Right. You do the first draft.
Right.
And you do the first draft based on pitches other people give yeah. you. So you are, it's
you know, your episode.
Right. Like you get the residuals for it, et cetera.
Yes.
But a lot of people have had their hands on it at that point.
And I don't think people know that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't, so I'm just adding that in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're going to be teaching about what happens in writer's room.
Well, and how to, I said max 12 people. So there are going to be 12 people. I said, I want a room that's a conference room.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to pitch me story ideas for ghosts. And then I'll pick one and we're going to write that cold open as a room.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a deadline and we're going to, and I'm going to have them pitch just show ideas. And, I'm going to teach them about just kind of the business, but, it changes. The business keeps changing. So I do want to kind of teach them mostly about also breaking story. What is story breaking versus just joke pitching and how to pitch a joke,
right.
how to help your buddies who are almost there with a joke and then you can add a little tweak to it and how to not negative pitch, how to just be a person. And I also want to have all right, you're going to be the disruptor today and everyone's going to have, because I want them to learn how to, and I don't necessarily think you have to be a writer to benefit from knowing how to work in a group on something.
Yeah.
So that's what the class is.
Yeah, because someone's strength might not be story. It might just be jokes. They're a joke machine and they can they can give you a joke for any scene, any line, anywhere in the script.
Right.
And other people might not be the best. They're good at it, but their best thing is story or whatever.
Story, which is far more important.
How do you navigate when you're in a writer's room? I'm not talking like on Zoom when you're kind of disconnected from everyone, but when you're right there at the table in the room with them, how do you feel confident enough to even speak up?
I'll tell you, just experience. That's it.
Yeah.
That is it. And I think it's different for Gen X than it is for the younger generations, mm-hmm. but it took me a very long time to know what I'm doing enough to have confidence enough, but also like to laugh at yourself if something doesn't work. I at least know what kind of thing is going to work and I'm not going to come up with the funniest joke.
Right.
But
you might start a germ of something that becomes the funniest joke.
Right, right. Modern Family was different. Modern Family, you had to have fully formed pitches. So it was quiet a lot of the time. And I like that. I do it like a math problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll sit and just kind of work it out. No, this isn't the best word. You know, what's a different kind of duck or something? And then I'll... And then, you pitch the joke. And when you're the joke that gets everybody to get to go home, that's a good feeling.
Yeah.
But I also like story ideas, I think, again, because I've seen so much, I know a lot of what's been done already.
Right.
And you're never going to reinvent the wheel, but you just are going to tweak it in a way that's unexpected, because that's all the most important part of anything is the unexpected surprises and turns and that kind of thing. And anyway, that to me, all that said means I think experience gives you not only the confidence, but you know what is needed. Whereas a lot of times people will pitch jokes when you need story and like, oh my God, that's so funny, but that will take us into this whole other way. I need what happens between these two characters that turns the story, that kind of thing, which is hard.
And that joke might be so good that it might be used in another episode somewhere else.
Sure. But they are the helping, most disposable things.
Yeah. It's not helping so this episode.
Right. Right.
And what's a disruptor?
Someone who takes the room in a whole different direction. Ugh. Someone who negative pitches. Mm-hmm. Like the number one rule in a writer's room is you never shoot down someone else's pitch. You just do not do it.
Yeah.
The person running the room can do it, but nobody else. And so
that happens sometimes.
Yeah, because sometimes people don't get that memo.
And how do you not say, "Hey, fuck you, Ralph"?
Well. God, that's a really interesting question. You either pull them aside later, you know, or be like, you know, but because the thing is, you can do it, but you have to have something else to pitch.
Yeah.
Like, oh, didn't we already do this storyline before? What if instead they do this? That's acceptable.
Mm-hmm. The disruptor.
Right. Like just someone who's an energy.
It's an asshole.
Right. Like I don't even mind diversions, because that always helps. It helps to kind of go away and to come back.
Is that a term that's used, or did you come up with
I'm
disruptor?
I don't know that it's a specifically a term for the writer's room. That's just what I would want one of the kids to be to give us all practice in how to manage that. Because also, you don't want to bring the whole room to a weird place. Yeah.
I was only in a situation like this one time. Craig Robinson, comedian Craig Robinson from The Office, he had a deal with, I don't know who, but it was for an animated show.
Oh.
But it was not a hidden camera show. It was, because it's animated, it was hidden audio. So you would go out and they wanted to do these things and take the audio, and then they would animate it.
Oh, okay.
So I don't even know how I got asked to come do this, but I did. Pilar's like, "Hey, blah, blah, blah called, and they want you to come and throw out ideas and stuff." I'm like, "All right, why me? Okay, great." So everyone in the room, so many people in the room were idiots. Like they're like, "Let's do one on a helicopter." And I'd be like, "It's about the audio. How are you going to get good audio in a helicopter?" Or someone would be like, "We're at a club." And I'm like, "Okay, you know how fucking loud it's going to be at the club?"
Yeah.
I'm just like, these have to be like, you know, places where you can get good audio. And it would just... And people were just like, it was nonsense. It was so, and I
now
kept saying.
Did the person running the room go like, "Oh, we can't do that because of this and such"?
No, because that person was me and I was certainly not running the room.
Oh.
But I kept saying, I'm like, "How are we going to do that with this?" Because this was after this was like 4 or 5 hours we were in this room. And so after about hour two of these people like nonsense constantly, then I just started to say, "How are we going to get good audio in a helicopter? How are we going to do this? How are we going to..." Like, they weren't thinking in terms of what the show actually was, and it was driving me bananas. Like, I came home, and Pilar was like, "How was it?" I'm like, that show's never going to get picked up. And it never did. I go, because the ideas that were thrown out were awful. And when I came home that night, I wrote, like, 25 doable ideas, and I sent them to the guy who called me, and I go, "Hey, thanks for having me in. I didn't get all these out tonight because there's so much nonsense in that room, but here's some ideas I think that would work audio-wise." And nothing ever happened.
Well, the person running the room should be the one going like, "You know what, can we do ones that don't have problems with the..."
Yeah. And Craig Robinson came in about hour three and just walked over to the craft service, ate some sandwiches and sat there so disinterested. And I was just like, "Well, this guy didn't even fucking care about this.
Right.
He has so many other projects. This is fucking nothing. He doesn't care about this." But everyone there too was so desperate.
Okay.
Like during a break that everyone would be talking like, "Oh, if this goes and we get this job and it's going to be so exciting to work with Craig." And they were just, And I'm like, oh, I hate that. I hate the desperation. I hate, you just have to say like, okay, this is fun right now. Let's do the best we can do.
Right.
And maybe, but these people are like full on like, I wonder when this is going to start shooting. And I'm like, start shooting? But they're not shooting anything. They're going to record all the audio and then they're going to animate it for 2 years. So calm down, people.
Yes.
But like no one seemed to have any, and these people were people that worked on things before.
Interesting.
I'm like, this is, can't possibly be how it works all the time.
Right.
This can't be, because nothing would get made.
No.
Okay.
I blame the person in charge.
And I don't even remember who that was, because we got paid for our time that night, and we got food. Thank you. And now I have this fucking great story.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. What's your next song?
My next song.
This is another slow one, right? This is Slow Skate.
Okay.
Is this woman still alive?
I believe so.
She was married to Kris Kristofferson.
She was, yes. Yeah,
she did a Bond song, All Time High.
This is another cover. This is We're All Alone by Rita Coolidge. Another couple skate song that's mature and builds to a wonderful, powerful ballad.
Still with us, 78 years old. Rita Coolidge. Here we go.
Outside the rain begins, and it may never end. So cry no more on the shore a dream. We'll take us out to sea. Eyes and dream, and you can be with me. Neath the waves, through the caves of ours, long forgotten now. We're all alone. We're all alone. Close the window.
Do you know who wrote that song?
Boss Skaggs.
That's right. It was the last song on his Silk Degrees album from 1976.
And his version's fine and great, but I just like hers.
His version is ridiculous, and we're going to hear a little bit of it because I have it queued up. Because his vocal take cracks me up every time. Outside the rain begins. I mean, listen to this. This is ridiculous.
Outside the rain begins, and it may never end. So cry no more on the shore.
It's not Lido Shuffle.
No.
Will take us out to sea forevermore.
And look, I'd love to use We're All Alone.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling that it's going to be hard to clear, and here's why. Did you know that Boz Scaggs had the opportunity to, I don't know what song it was. Lowdown.
Oh.
They wanted Lowdown in Saturday Night Fever in a rehearsal scene, and he said no.
Wow.
And he could, like, 3 million, like some crazy number that he would have made on that. And I'm like, oh, I love that Rita Coolidge song, but I have a feeling that if it ever became the movie version, or if I ever wanted to, whatever, it would be hard to clear.
That would be hard to clear. That's when you know someone has a ton of money.
Right.
I don't need that money.
Yeah. I mean, this was...
It was in Saturday Night.
It
would have been on that soundtrack.
Yeah.
He would have made so much money from the sales of that soundtrack.
Yes.
Maybe he's kicking himself for that now.
Who knows? But to be fair, it was just this kind of... You know, back then, a nothing 70s movie could turn into a Rocky. Like, it could,
yes.
Those things could be gritty and small and with the help of that music and the whole, because disco was a phenomenon at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, it was starting to kind of go down, but anyway, yeah. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
That bass. He could never follow up this album, though. That was his big, big album, 1976, Silk Degrees. He had good songs after that, but no big albums like that. I love that album. All right. That's an album my brother had that I glommed onto. There weren't not much, because my brother's like kind of here music-wise.
No.
He just, whatever other kids were listening to, he wouldn't seek out and find his own stuff.
Okay.
He still thinks, you know, the first Boston album is the best album of all time. It's a good album.
It's, yeah, well, yeah.
He's not wrong, but he's never moved past that.
Got it. Okay.
Again, this is a thing I tell all the time on this show, and it's nonsense. Here's what my brother says all the time. There's nothing good on TV. He says that in 2023. There's nothing good on TV.
Okay.
Because he's still beholden to NBC, CBS, and ABC.
Right.
He doesn't seek out anything that streams or you can binge, or he's just like, nothing good on TV. I'm like, all right.
Okay.
Dum-dum. This is your last song?
My last song. All right. This one is just a fun skate. I don't know much about Patrick Hernandez.
I don't know anything about him. But I did have this song.
Oh, of course. Because it's a bop. It's Born to Be Alive.
All right. Here it goes.
As we all are.
Happy to still be living.
Yeah.
So I will put the link to the GoFundMe in the description of this episode. And when I send it to the ASAP Club, I will also send them a link.
Oh, that's nice.
To
Thank
the
you.
GoFundMe. But if you just Google GoFundMe, The Runt, Christy Stratton,
yes,
it's going to come up.
Yes. We have an Insta page, mm-hmm. and we're, you know, I'm going to just keep putting stuff out there until people are sick of me.
And don't get discouraged. It always goes slow until like near the deadline, and then people
are
like,
I don't have I didn't put a deadline on it.
Well, but I mean, eventually people go, oh, I keep forgetting to do that. And then they, you know, so.
Okay. Maybe I should just to do that. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know I don't know the best way to do any of that stuff. But, you know, but as long as, but if you don't hit the goal, you're not doing it. Is that true? Or
no,
do you
that
have,
is not true.
Okay. So you have a backup plan.
Now sure.
That said, we want you to hit the goal. Don't not donate because I just said
right.
that.
Right. No, yes, correct. Like it's by hook or by crook. Mm-hmm. It's happening. Like yeah.
I don't want to put words in your mouth because I didn't read the GoFundMe, but like, is there going to be a crawl of all the people that donated?
Oh yeah. I mean, I would love that.
Okay.
Like
thanks
not,
to, and then all the people.
Right. Like I didn't have, the thing where there's levels and donation.
Yeah, tiers and.
I honestly, I don't have time to kind of
right, you don't
dedicate
have time
to
send them a button or a sticker
right.
or anything like that.
But
okay.
I would love to acknowledge everybody in some way mm-hmm. and be it credits or be it like shout outs on social media,
yes.
all of that stuff. It's
that will happen after the production.
Right.
Because that's the most important thing.
But sure.
And is casting finished yet? You only have the DJ cast.
Well, right. They're children. So I have to figure out if the kids I know can play the smaller parts.
Okay.
That's important because I want to be able to rehearse these kids a lot. I want to be able to say, meet us at the rink to practice. I want to be able to work with them mm-hmm. and know their parents and all of that. And I, for most of the smaller parts, I know the kids.
Okay.
But for the two leads, the 12-year-old girls that have to skate and be funny and be emote, all of that, I don't know those girls.
Yeah.
Because I just know boys.
Yeah, and you're not looking for 18-year-olds that can play 12.
Right. I mean, there is one scene where I have some badass, you know, 18-year-old girls.
Right.
It starts on them and they're trash talking in the bathroom, mm-hmm. and then you pan over and it's actually about the kids, the younger kids that are there. It's
okay.
not about the older cool girls.
Yeah. Okay.
But I do need, they have some lines, so I've got to start diving into that.
Yeah. There's a lot. Like,
yeah.
It's not just crowdfunding.
There's a lot.
And is the script locked?
It is. Now, I closer to the date of production, I would do table reads and mm-hmm. make sure that everything, you know, but yeah, I mean, yes.
You should try to videotape those table reads for extra content too. That might be fun.
Right.
It might be fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, doesn't mean you have to put them out there, but if you don't do it, and then after the fact, you're like, I really wish I would have done that.
So yeah, just, yeah.
You know, and you can do that on phones.
I know
my
intern / assistant can do that.
And is your husband Gary? Is he helping you with anything? Is he involved, or is he just supportive?
He's very supportive. Okay. I said, "Do you want to be a producer on this?" And he's like, "No, I will just be, you know." And that's
in your
best.
Corner.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, giving me advice on stuff.
And I saw Gary and Johnny the other day, and Johnny is definitely taller than me, without a doubt.
Oh, he's 5, like almost, I don't think he's taller than you.
He seemed like he was. He seemed pretty tall.
He's
I stood
five,
next
eight
to him.
And a half, I think, we, okay. last time, because he had an ear, he had swimmer's ear, so we had to take him to the doctor.
Oh, boy. And Gary, I always see Gary, what do I want to say, neat and clean, and he had like a scruff and a baseball hat. It was like, I almost didn't know it was him at first,
mm-hmm.
until he said hello. And I looked and saw Johnny, this tall. I'm like, that looks like Johnny, but that kid's 20.
Yeah, right.
And who's this ragamuffin?
It was so funny. We were at a restaurant, and we were on vacation, and the concierge at the hotel we were staying at sent us all glasses of champagne.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny's with a buddy. He brought a buddy of his to this trip. And they came and brought only one non-alcoholic because they just from far away, they thought Johnny
was old enough.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
mommy
yeah.
gets two and Johnny can drink water.
Right.
You go without,
he can
son.
Drink the Mott's.
So I got a great playout song. You like it. I know it's Christy approved. It's Skate Away by Dire Straits.
Oh,
so
you
that's
know it.
The playout song. So will you come back after filming or to give us an
yes,
update, and
absolutely.
We'll figure out what the topic will be for those songs. And and this is so exciting. What's the, do you have a date set for filming, but you're not going to say it?
Oh, right.
Okay.
I may.
All right.
I may.
All right. That's it. I don't want to get you to say information that you don't want to say. I just want to, you know, let people know we're at.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like, yes.
And Christy's wearing...
There's a strike going on and there's some things, so
yeah.
And it's got to figure it out.
And is it okay to not be on the picket line, go to teach? You're allowed to do that.
Well, I emailed them and because they kind of were like, all right, where have you been? And I have been picketing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes, I've seen your post.
I'm happy to do it.
Right.
But I did say that I'm going to be taking this job and they're like, you know, what can they do?
You got to make money.
Right.
And Christy, just so everyone knows, she's wearing a Linda Ronstadt Living in the USA t-shirt with Linda with the roller skates.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And you still have roller skates.
Yes. I mean, I don't still have them. I got them in the last, whatever,
okay,
20 years.
Okay, you have them.
Yeah.
Yes. You don't. And you can still buy roller skates. Everything's
sure.
not roller blades now.
Oh, no.
All
there's
right.
people that do it. It's
yeah.
There's a community of people.
Skaters.
And my friend Erin, her daughter, who's going to come help us out and skate,
mm-hmm.
who's 18, knows how, and she has friends that do it. And they're, you know, there are people that still carry that torch.
All right. Very exciting. Thank you for coming over and sharing all the information. I always love to hear the projects that you're doing. And you're a talented person, and I know how you said it's like scraps out here when you get some. And so, you know, just because someone is successful doesn't mean that it's just a free ride for the rest of their life. Christy is out there hustling. Everyone's out there always hustling to
yep.
do their creative endeavors. It's just not handed to you. I mean, it could be.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is, but right now, no. It's right. You're making it happen is
that's
what I want
right.
to say. You're making it happen.
That's right. And so thank you for anyone who donates any dollar amount. I can't tell you how it's appreciated and that I'm going to make this thing and it's going to be kick ass mm-hmm. and you're going to be proud to have been a part of it. And
when anyway. You see it, then in the back of your head, you can say, no, I helped this. I helped do this.
That's
my
right.
little part. I helped do it.
That's right.
So that's it. So with that, we are at Rock Solid Show. Go to rocksolidpodcast.com for all things about the show. Go to patreon.com/rocksolidpodcast to support the show. And Google GoFundMe, The Runt, Christy Stratton, in order to help fund Christy's movie, The Runt.
Thank you.
With that, I say to Christy, later, skater.
Ah!
And let's hear Dire Straits, one of Kyle's favorite bands. from Making Movies, their best album, in my opinion.
Oh, yes.
Here's Skate Away. Thank you, Christy.
I seen a girl on a one-way corridor, stealing down a wrong-way street. Like an urban toreador, she had wheels on her feet. The cars do the usual dances, same old cruise in the curbside crawl. But the roller girl, she's taking chances. I just love to see her take them all.
Song.
How powerful is Cox Internet? Powerful enough to let your band members in Vegas, Phoenix, and Rhode Island jam like you're all in the same garage. Get gig speeds powered by fiber from Cox. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, always building better. Download speeds up to 1 gigabit per second. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial connection. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply.